Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Bronger.
Hey, welcome to Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. With me, as always, is the amazing Queen Amanda. Guys, thank you so much for all your great reviews and very kind words. I believe we were picked up by a dad blog somewhere from the Joe Coy episode, which is very cool. Speaking of dads, our guest today, Lisa Hannawalt, my friend, is here.
Hello.
You know her, the artist and creator, co-creator of BoJack Horseman. She also has a new show coming out soon, which she'll talk about. But to the matter at hand, I feel like the best kind of podcast, just get into whatever the people were talking about in real life before we got into the bullshit of, hey, welcome, everyone. My name is Guy Smiley. you guys were talking about your problems with your dogs.
Our dogs are sick.
My dog's name is Tumbles. She's 10.
Tumbles.
Yes. She's like a Shar Pei pit mix. I got her from a dog fighting raid.
Oh, my God.
But she's like the nicest, gentlest.
Beautiful dog.
Thing. Yeah.
I got mine off Craigslist, and her name is Indy.
Amazing. No way. I love that. That's a good name, Indy.
Yeah. Indiana Jones is the full name, but, you know.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's okay. You win. You win. I like you.
Seal of approval.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Tumbles had surgery, and I was faced with her mortality. This is what we were talking about.
Yeah.
So, like, I spent a big chunk of my day yesterday, like, making art. And so here's what happened. I was walking my neighborhood without her, right? Like, epic emo walk, listening to, like, emo music. And there was a giant roll of butcher paper. Like, it was like 12 feet long out of a recycle bin. So I went and like checked it to see if it like had anything on it, and it didn't. I sat there kind of like puttering a little bit, and like the song I was listening to that pops up talks about like if you would rather go broke and be able to express yourself fully with art, like that's pure love. And I'm like, okay. So I grab this big piece of butcher paper out of this dumpster, carry it 4 blocks home.
Oh my God.
I like push my, I mean, I have a living room, but for some reason I had to like do it in my bedroom. Like I needed that. And so what I did is I rolled it out. I smoked a little bit of weed to like help the process. I put on this album, Tom Misch. I just like discovered him recently through Reggie. Okay. So, and I have these Magnum Sharpie markers, and I just wrote her a love letter.
Oh.
Like I wrote on this huge piece of
That's
paper,
awesome.
Right?
She so gets wrote, home, she's like, I can't read this.
So like I wrote, right?
I don't know
what this is. Do you
I
have
know.
Any hot dogs? That's how to write me a love letter, is to give me hot dogs.
I know she has no way. You know what
That's
I mean?
It's good for
like,
you. It's good for
I,
you.
Like, needed to do it, you know? And like at one point in time I had gone into like madness of a topography study of like just writing out like my heart and like how that feels in my body and like how it should like come out my hand. And like I ended up taking up all of this paper except for I have one section where like when I pick her up from the hospital today, like tonight I'm gonna lay her down on this section. I'm gonna like outline her.
Oh my God. Like a body at a so crime scene.
Nice.
It's like a shrine.
It's fine. That's your
like,
art.
No,
whatever you need to do.
Don't do it in chalk. Just don't do it in chalk.
Just like don't like caution.
Just
all
do it
over
directly
it.
On the floor.
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm gonna do with this now because it's like 12x40. Like I have no idea. But like I had to do it.
That's
like,
awesome.
I was telling you, I made all these drawings of my dog's skeleton, and then I'm like, I can't share any of these. They just bum people out. So I just put them in my.
I want to see it.
My file. They're creepy.
I love that, but. Like, I get it, right? Because I went through that. Like, I'm so down to see that. Like, please.
And I mean, she's like, my dog's dying of cancer right now. I'm actually, like, surprisingly okay with it because she's had it for 2 years. And I'm like, yeah, when she goes, she goes. And, like, we make a lot of morbid jokes about it to make ourselves more comfortable with it. But I'm going to be a mess. I mean, I've had her 12 years. She's my baby.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like my therapist says, it's like, look, you're going to be okay. but it's going to suck.
It's going to suck.
But you're going to be okay.
I like
yeah. that, you know, and it's
you'll get through it.
You're going to be okay, but it's going to suck.
Yeah. But it's very cool that you both have expressed yourself through art, and I feel like that's barfing out poison.
It is, that's why I'm an artist, I need to barf.
Oh, I need to barf.
Existential breakdown.
It's weird. I barf with my mouth on stage.
But, I don't.
Yes, you barf with your mind and your hands. But I basically was just thinking about how, like, oh, maybe I should do a little bit more of that, because I've talked about this on the show, but I had, like, a bit of a breakdown at one point where I was frustrated about a few things, and I'm just in this house because I have an office here that I'll just write in, or I'll be on the road, or I'll go to an audition, or I'll go write with a friend or something. But it's like there's no like thing I'm on or in that I go to right now. So I was kind of, you know, just it, and it felt like this house was driving me crazy, even though I love it. And I was gonna put the trash out, and I got the trash, and I'm going towards the front door. And I just snapped and just bellowed and just swung I dropped the trash and I hit my head on that mantle in the fireplace, just banged it, and I just went, and just swung the trash against the wall, and the whole bag
That's so
exploded.
Manly.
And all the, and here's what's manly.
I love the idea here's of you here's being what's manly. That
just started
and
crying and like was just like yelling.
It's so primal.
And just so mad. And there's just a broken jar of spaghetti with the sauce all over the wall and shit. And I'm just I cleaned it all up. And I felt better. But it's like, I should have painted something. I should have drawn something instead of just having this moment where I just...
Now, yelling is good, too.
Violently. Yeah. It is.
I wish I had filmed mine, like, my process of making it. Like, but it's so hard when you're in it.
Yeah.
You know? So you're sitting there full raw self-expression. Yeah. It's hard to, like, stop and then be like, where am I going to point this? Uh-huh. Like, right? You lose the momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's...
And I guess you
that's
don't
like
snap
great.
And go, here's a cool painting. Yeah. You know, you don't, that's not, you know, like, wow, that's a, you have a cool breakdown. I just wrote a really good song. I don't know. In my pit of infinite sadness. Just catchy number. It's called Sweet Pea. This was months and months ago.
I just love this, like, barbaric
I know.
Concept of you, because just, then
this business will do that to you. It'll just, because you just bang your head against the wall, and everyone's advice, including mine, is just keep banging your head.
Yeah.
Keep doing the work, keep staying on it.
But it feels bad.
But it feels bad
it
when
continues
you
continues to feel
when
bad.
You know, the years go by and it's like I've had so many things get so close and then fall off. But some people don't even ever get close. And I get to do what I love for a living. And so it's like, but sometimes it's hard to keep that in mind.
Well, there's always something else that you want. Like, you get what you want, and then you need to get the next thing and the next thing. So it's like a hungry ghost inside of you. You'll never be satisfied.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But
this makes me feel, I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm like amongst people who understand.
Sure.
I'm like having that moment right now. I'm like, oh, okay, good.
But it's, you at least are, you know, you're both focused on things you love, you know? And I always think about, like, if I wasn't in the healthy relationship I'm in, and, you know, I was at SoulCycle today. I go
you
to
did?
SoulCycle.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
It's kind of a,
so
I don't know, it's kind of an insider club where, like, people that are super young like me go to.
The
lady kept saying, like, think of the most intense thing that ever happened in your life. And I'm just, like, going through, I'm like, I can't pick a thing. It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, if I had to, I just remember the intense what the fuck am I doing with my lifeness of, like, the 8 months Karen and I were broke up before we got back together.
Because
it was
that's
just like
intense.
I just felt adrift, and it was kind of like, you know, it wasn't all bad. I still was happy during those times, but I remember that just being this thing of just like, well, shit, you know. And we were walking around yesterday just looking at stores and stuff, and she was, you know, she'll joke about, like, when I'm always like, I have dibs on dying first because I'm older than her. I call dibs.
That's
like,
fair.
I don't want it to be around. I don't want to be around. And she's like, you know, I'm old and she's dead. Like, fuck that shit. But she's like, yeah, I think I'll probably, and she always says these things of, like, who she'll date next and stuff. And it's like a made up thing. She's probably like, I'll have, like, a bunch of different boyfriends, I think. And then maybe get a husband. I don't know. You know, and like, I'm like, you're going to switch to girls. I know it. You
ooh,
know, and she's like,
you too,
and
are
she's like,
so great.
Yeah, stupid. But she's like, and then, but you know, it's always her. Like, I never say that, but she's like, what would you do? And I wasn't even like, oh, I'd be so crushed, because I would be, but I was just like, oh, I don't want to date again. Yeah. No, you know.
Oh, man, it's awful.
Yeah, no, it is. It's always awful.
Oh, it's so much. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Relationships are also awful, but like it's, anyway, so it's just, nice, it's though. Just funny that,
when
yeah.
When you find a good one, you're like, I'm done, right? I don't have to do this again. Yeah, I don't want to find someone else.
And it's, I'm just glad I'm not in, look, but it's good to not be in a bad relationship. I've been in ones where I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
And they drain you. So
drain
of
you.
All of your energy and soul.
And it's like going to a, you know, when like you go to a party for a friend and you're there and you're like, I hate this. I want to go, you know,
oh, yeah.
And it, like it's a shitty party or yeah. whatever. And it's like, that's what being in a bad relationship is. It's like, what am I doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is stupid. Yeah. No one wants me here.
Yeah. Yeah. But that, those are the moments when you finally flex a little bit. The I'm an adult and I can leave.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't have to say anything to anybody. Uh-huh. I don't have to, like, I could just go,
yeah.
you know, right? Like, no. I mean, it's an interesting muscle to mm-hmm. flex because it's, like, kind of hard. And then you do it and you're like, yeah,
right?
Like, I can leave.
I think
leave.
That's one of the reasons me and my partner aren't married yet is we're, like, we kind of like that we're both choosing to stay at all times. Like, yeah. there's nothing legally yeah. binding us. Or we're just
yeah.
kind of like.
Yeah, so because I've been married and divorced.
Yeah.
And, like, that's mortifying. And not only that, like, I was
so
married
normal.
Before the whole, like, Tinder dating app spiel.
Yeah.
So then to, like, come out and now here is this new world that I never had, like, the youth time evolving in.
Right.
Because you know how, like, when you're young and you learn how, and you, like, start fooling around with people, it's, like, awkward in the beginning, right? Like, when you first make out, you're not very good, and then eventually you get
I was
good.
Excellent right away. I don't know
like
what you're
that.
Talking about.
Nice.
Oh,
just kidding.
Shit.
See, you owe me $5. I told you she was. We make weird bets.
Weird.
But, like, I never went through that,
yeah.
you know? And so here I am essentially making an intermediate / you know, juvenile dating profile, not understanding this process. Mm. And, like, eventually I go through, like, these apps so much. They're like, you need to, like, lower your standards so we can give you more connections. And I was like, no.
No.
And I just stopped, you know? And it, like, it's, like, really... It's, like, really been a lot. Like,
yeah.
this is so funny because this is, like, relevant to a question I pulled.
But oh, sweet.
Anyway, we'll get...
Well, let's... Like, how about we... Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's
yeah.
let's roll the first one.
I'm not good at giving advice, by the way, so... But
well, that's... It's advice from a dipshit. There's no
right,
clinical
right.
expertise.
I forgot the okay, yeah. yeah. We're
and
good.
Then, and I have, like, something... I have, like, a message for you specifically,
oh,
like,
wow.
to the end, too. That's,
terrifying.
Like, super fun. No, you're actually going to love it. I have, like, a little Easter egg for you.
Cool. My advice to anyone on the show is basically just like, you're drawing from your own mistakes. You're drawing from your dipshittery.
Yeah.
So that you already have expertise.
Yeah. Because
you know
I am a dipshit. I know
I mean,
a lot about being a dipshit.
I can tell you've made so many mistakes. I knew that when I met you.
Thank
no,
you.
No, I'm
oh my
kidding.
God, thank you.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But anyway, let's
all
roll
right.
the first one.
So this was going to be the bonus question, but I'm going to play it since it's like now relevant.
Great.
Hey, Matt. It's me, Kat. I got out of a 6-year relationship and have been working on myself for the last 2. I'm ready to start dating, but totally don't understand the dating apps. It's crazy out there. What tips do you have for making a good Bumble profile that will attract good guys and not dick pics in my DM? Thanks.
Hey, Kat. Thanks for calling in. Very cool. I appreciate that, you know, more people are calling in, recognizing me as an official millennial, as a young... of course I know all the dating apps, man. I've been out there. First off, let me just say my level of expertise from Tinder specifically is from my mistakes. When I was single, I made a Tinder profile and they wanted it to link to my Facebook and just use that information. And I was like, I don't want to use my Facebook because it's a business account. It's my comedy account. I don't want someone looking at it and being like, oh, comedian, mm-hmm. whatever, who cares, as if I'm promoting myself. So I created another Facebook account and put nothing on it but a picture.
So
any woman who opened it up was like, there's no friends, there's no information. Oh, he's a serial killer. Like, it was the dumbest. And I realized that after a couple days and went, oh, no, fuck this. And I just canceled it. I think I'll throw to Lisa. Have you ever made a Bumble account?
No, I did used to do some online dating like 10 years ago. I was on like The Nerve or like The Onion and I was on OkCupid. And there's nothing you can do to avoid dick pics, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, they will find you. They will send them. So just ignore them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, save them and use them as blackmail or whatever.
Or like spice up group chats.
Yeah. Those guys just have no concept of whether or not someone wants to see their dick. That's the whole point.
And it's trolling. It's just like, this. I don't think it's, there's, it's almost like a hack joke now at this point in time with like comedians being like, what do they think? This girl's gonna be like, ooh, wow, a dick. It's like, no, not really. It's more, they just want a reaction. They just want, it's just like the feeling of, oh, she looked at my dick.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like gross. It's just being a piece of shit. And that sucks that it's unavoidable, but thankfully at least she's on Bumble.
I don't know what is Bumble.
Bumble is where the women choose.
Okay.
Men
that's
cannot
good.
Reach out to women.
Oh,
women
that's good.
Reach out to men.
Yeah. That's good.
Yes.
But she wants to know.
And they have a lot of like safeties in place to make sure you're like not treated inappropriately.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm. But she wants to know how to make her profile appealing.
Yeah. I think she's like, she's new to the internet. The modern age. So I think this one is for you a little bit.
Yeah.
But this is what I was saying of like, this is a problem I have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because I showed up without really like knowing. And, so I like, man, I really wish I could tell you, but I don't. I mean, it's just, I mean, be honest and
honest.
What else I've
sense
I found
of humor
out.
Is good to show too. Just like,
and there's like subculture rhetoric for if you're into certain things, you can like signal that in the rhetoric of like the space, which is weird. I haven't been on it in a very long time. Like I went through it and there was a period of time where I was like really like dating a lot. Like I got like a high from it, you know, but I was just like a lot of like single dates was just like, and then that was exhausting. And I really only met like one person who I was like, I was about, who ended up like lying about their age by like 5 years, like total like weird control problems, even though I like really liked him. And so I saw so many guys who lied. How do you filter that? You know, you can't. 37. Oh wait, we're going to your birthday party now to meet all your friends and you're 42. Like,
yeah, what the fuck?
Not like that would have bothered me, but why'd you have to do that?
It's a bad sign.
If, they're already lying to you on something as dumb as your age and you're a guy.
And you're, and like, I don't care. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm not going to be dating any 20-year-olds. Like, if I definitely, like, when I would see an account and, like, the age range was, like, 18 to 50, I would kind of be like to that guy, fuck off.
Yeah,
like, you
gross.
Don't, like, you just want sex. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Versus my window is like, tiny. It's, like, 30 to 45 and, like, 10 miles from me or whatever shit. Like, that's it. You know what I mean?
Like, I think that's fair. I think, like, the best advice we can give her is just go to your actual specificity. Use your sense of humor and be normal. But just don't, I think don't overthink it as much. Kind of just treat it like you're meeting people at a party or whatever. I mean, I had Mike Burns is an old friend of mine. He created Dad Boner, and he, you know, if you follow that on Twitter, which he got a book deal of that called Power Moves. He now has a great podcast. Shout out to Mike called Power Moves, and it's kind of like he's a bit of a gentleman scumbag in a way. So like Mike Bridenstine had a podcast actually called A Gentleman Scumbag.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's just kind of people that like to live trash but know how to correctly, you know, like happy hour at Applebee's and stuff like that. And
I love
carnal consensual passions, you know, is one of their things. So like, but he created, I remember a dating profile that was called Pizza Nacho 69. That was, he was like, everything on it was something a trash, hilarious dude would say.
Uh-huh.
And it's a fake thing. And women, like, he got a lot of reach outs that
they
were like,
They loved it.
Because it was so over the top. And I think the lesson to take from that is like, go ahead and be a little nuts if you are. And put your sense of humor on there.
It definitely gets attention.
Because you're a woman, you know, and Mike did not expect to get any reactions from this.
Yeah.
Like, it's like one of the questions is like, name six things you can't live without. And he wrote titties, six of them. It's like, fucking makes no sense.
But do you think that will work as well for a woman creating a profile as a man?
No, I'm not saying go crazy like he did, but I'm saying,
because men don't like funny women as much as women like crazy funny men.
But that's probably a good point. But I think the men who like funny women are of way more value than men who do not.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think what you want is a guy who's not weeding people out, you're separating the wheat from the chaff. Like, you basically want a guy who won't be intimidated by your sense of humor and by your uniqueness.
Yeah.
And just like Amanda said, like, fucking hold out.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
not lower your standards. That makes as much sense as my buddy Kevin was looking for an apartment, and we went in this apartment, and it was tiny. And he's like, no, this is too small. And the lady's like, oh, no, you don't need all your stuff. It's like, oh, let me sell half my shit so I can pay you rent, you maniac. It's the same thing for you, like, oh, lower your standards to stay on our site.
But at the same time,
that's not my job.
At the same time, if you need like a guy to like all the same Coen Brothers movies in the same order you do, like that's too, you know, like there's only so much you can judge from a profile.
Granted.
Like if you're seeing like, oh, I don't like his taste in music or movies, that shit does not matter at all.
No.
You just need someone who like will treat you nice and like encourage you and support you. Like that's why I didn't like online dating, is you can judge the surface of someone, but then you see them in person and you're like, oh, I hate the way he smells.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like the chemistry is just non-existent. Yeah,
there's so
like
much more you can tell from seeing someone in person.
Like, yeah.
That's why it's not good to like message back and forth for weeks and weeks. Like just meet someone.
Yes,
like,
yes. Mm-hmm.
So I actually have like a pretty funny catfishing story. I got catfished. This was like the final kind of like straw for me, like especially with this. So I got catfished. So like, you know, pictures are cute. Conversation was witty. Like, all right, great. So we meet for a drink. And I show up and I'm like looking around the bar, like really confused, you know, like I don't see whoever. And some guy starts like waving at me. And I was like, oh. And so I walk over and I'm like, excuse me. Like, he's like, oh, Amanda. And he starts talking to me like he's familiar with me.
Okay.
And I was like, I do not like recognize you. I'm sorry. Like, are you like, let's just call him Evan or whatever. Like, and he goes, oh yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, my pictures don't quite do so well. So like I found stuff that sort of looks like me. Turns out he's like a Hallmark. He said he was a writer and a creative. And he's like, I've had stuff that's been published. I'm like, cool. Oh yeah. He's a Hallmark card writer. And like Hallmark is having problems and cutting. And he's pretty sure he's going to lose his job in 2 months. And he doesn't know what he wants to do.
Wow.
And so next thing I know, I overhear the bartender giving me a drink and I turn. And here we go. Get ready for it. He gives me a drink because he's overseeing this interaction and he feels bad for me. And he knows me because he and I were, let me finish this, extras in a porn together. So I have a friend, Matt and I have discussed this before about our LA friend. So I have an LA friend who's a porn star and she was like, hey, we need like extras just to do like the plot parts. Do you want to do it? And I was all like, hell yeah, I get to like wear a wig. They're going to put me in a costume.
Nice.
Like, I don't know what this is, but you know, I'm like young and living my life. So sure, I'll be an extra in a porn. And you get to make up what your name is for IMDb for it. And I was like, oh, I love this.
That's great.
And so he and I were extras together and like hit it off of being like, this is really weird. Like we had to walk around at one point and sing happy, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday. So he's watching me. He recognizes me, and so he went over to talk to me, but then sees I'm getting catfished by this weirdo, so he just gives me a drink, doesn't charge me. I, like, take the shot, and I turn to the guy, and I'm like, I'm the fuck out of here.
Good for you.
But I'm a writer, and I'm athletic, and I'm, you know, published. And no, you're like a skinny Hallmark card writer.
Nothing wrong with writing Hallmark cards, but be honest
about
it.
Yeah. Oh, you're about to, like, lose your job. And so then this guy that I'm, like, that I was, like, in a porn with, it was so funny.
That's
I was
hilarious.
Like, this is at least there's my out. I'm heading out.
There you go. Perfect. Okay.
All right. But yeah. All right. Next question.
Hey, everybody. My girlfriend, basically her parents should have retired maybe 15 years ago. And now it's getting to the point where they can't take care of themselves, and my girlfriend is forced to stay at home and be their nurse, basically, and they don't have enough financials, I guess, to live in a nice home or something, or they don't want to, and I don't know what to tell her. It's upsetting for everyone, and there's just no way to fix this situation. I feel like, and I'm doing everything I can, and I think she is too, but we're both in our mid-early 30s, and we'd really like to get our lives going. not to say that theirs will be ending soon, but how do you take care of parents that need care and still live on your own and do your own life thing? So yeah, sorry, it's depressing, but it's her life. It's just a part of mine, but anything would help. Thank you. Love you. Your show. Bye.
Thank you, sir. I don't know what you mean, depressing. That's hilarious. No. Here's my first thought. My parents are involved with a collective called The Village that is all over the country. And basically what it is you set up a network in your neighborhood and they basically help you. There's outlets in all the major cities, maybe some of the small ones. Google The Village. And basically what it is young people and old people. Like, for example, my parents' neighborhood. My parents are in their early 70s. Everyone in the neighborhood, they have their phone number and my parents and vice versa. And so there are people that, like, on a little schedule will call in and check on them if they need it or whatever. They can call someone if something happens or whatever. So that is something to look into and
that's
see.
That's so great.
What kind of, it's awesome.
That's awesome.
It basically makes it so you maybe don't – you don't have to go to a retirement home until, like, it's near the end. Kind of thing. To take you away from the fear of having to leave everything you worked for to go to this thing. But that said, you might not have that there and you guys are low on funds and that is a kick in the pants. I think it's she's basically doing a daughter's duty. So it's kind of you up to you to help out all you can, try to get her a break, maybe help with some of the duties. I'm sure you are. You seem like a really nice dude. I think in terms of, I would just kind of, if there hasn't been a conversation started about a home of some kind, because you can get aid for that sort of thing, that is something to look into. Lisa, what would you
know. I'm like dreading this happening in my own life because so many of us have to deal with this at some point and it's coming soon. And my parents are getting older. My dad's in his 80s. Like, there's a point where they just start to rely on you. And yeah, I don't know. I don't have good advice for this. We should vote Democrat socialists into office so that we have more universal health care.
More to the point. Yeah,
we really
exactly.
need the government to help take care more so that the burden doesn't fall on like our whole generation when we're just starting to get, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when people blanch and kind of back up about like, oh, I don't think healthcare is a human right. It's like, yes, it is.
Yes,
because
it is.
Wait until you're 80 and then you have no money and you're like, wait, what am I supposed to die? And it's like, yeah, people that say healthcare isn't a human right just want you to die.
And it's hard to like make enough to retire comfortably and like take care of all your health needs and like unexpected shit comes up. And it's just like the government needs to help the people who live in the country.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's like the long game. Absolutely. But for now, I think,
I think just look
into options for aid. Sit down with your girlfriend, talk about your guys' future, have a little date night, something, to have a little time with each other. And make sure, and you know, tread lightly, but make sure you are. Ask her, has she talked to her parents about options?
Talking with them openly about
absolutely.
It is a good thing to
and
do.
That has got to be brutal, but it's just got to be done. So, good luck to you, man, and just rest in the fact that you and your girlfriend are doing the right thing, and you're being a really cool person about it. And that's not to be discounted. You got to keep that in mind because you didn't call whining about, oh, I want my girlfriend back. You sound like this is keeping you up nights, man. And I think that's tough, but that means you're a good person. So just keep that in mind and, take some time for you and your girlfriend to have some time to yourselves. Just be sure to cut that time out. Each other. You can even go over and pick them up from her parents' house and be like, hey guys, we know you guys want to fuck, so I'm going to take my girlfriend. I think they'll think it's funny. I think they probably haven't heard that word from anyone in a while.
I don't know them, but I think they'll love it.
I think they'll love it. That's our advice. Say that and grab your girlfriend and
see how that plays.
Take her to the Cheesecake Factory. Okay. good luck to you, man. Let's hear the next call.
Matt, Josh here. I'm a 35-year-old guy, single, and all my friends have moved on from marriage and all that stuff. How do you make friends as an adult? You can't go to the playground and play with random kids anymore. You can't go to school and pick your friends out of the groups that you're in. I don't want to pick them up at a bar. That seems kind of weird, unless that's the only advice you got.
Ah, no.
What are your hobbies? Like, does he have any hobbies? Because that's the best way. Do you play a sport? Like, do you like going hiking or bike riding? Or do you like baking pottery? Or
join clubs?
Yeah, shared interests.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just like dating. It's just about putting yourself out there, and that's tough, man. I really appreciate this ask, because that is a big thing.
It's hard to make friends at this age.
It
feel like dating.
It feels creepier.
I feel
to
like
make friends.
It's like you get commitment phobic too. You're like, do I like this person enough to spend one-on-one time with them? What if they don't like me?
Exactly.
What if they think I'm disgusting?
It's like, look, can I just blow you? Would you rather have something like that? Because
that would be easier.
I would be easier and I'd be done with you. It's tough. I mean, I've talked about how I've had one person in my life that I had to break up with as a friend.
Yeah.
And it was weirder than breaking up with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Weirder. Because it's just like, what do you mean we're not friends anymore? Like, that just is such a strong thing, because we think of friends as not a big deal thing. But as you
it's
get older,
it's such a big deal.
It is the hugest deal.
I've had to drop friends to a different tier. You know, like, they were best friends, and then it's like, nah, you're more of a distant acquaintance at this point.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And I've had people where I was kind of the one where I was always reaching out, and it was kind of like they were not. And I'm just like, okay,
one-sided.
I'm just gonna let this go.
Yeah.
You know, and
stop
and
watering the plant and see what happens.
I'm sure part of it was because they lived in Venice.
Oh, sure.
The LA thing.
Yeah.
That's
an
LA thing.
So
I'll never see you again.
No, it's true.
I have two friends actually in Marina Del Rey who I still see, which is great, because I see them at shows, and that's the joy of being a comedian. You know, we have a bit of a fraternal order, and so we'll see each other on the road and airports.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
In LA. Yeah, it's great. But
Colleagues,
esteemed colleagues who sometimes become friends.
You give comedians and so much credit.
But esteemed. It is people think be esteemed. No, not esteemed. We're not. This is low art.
Yeah,
this
I'll
is,
make all my colleagues are perverts.
My fellow purveyor of dick jokes. How are you? But it's hard for the layperson to kind of, how do you?
It's hard to meet a new person who like understands your deal too.
Right,
you know, like
right.
All my friends know that they have to like scratch down my door to get me to hang out with them.
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm the plant who never.
Sure.
Know.
That's fine.
I never reach out, but they get it. Like that, and it works. This dynamic works with us.
But if you had someone who was like, Lisa, come on, let's roll up on the club. You're like, I'm not doing that. I don't want to go to the club. So it's, you know, they know you. They know who you are.
Yeah.
And that's their friends. But I think, the thing that got me is like, why do your friends get married and then they're not your friend?
Yeah.
That's weird to me.
That is weird. Don't they still have friends?
That's like when people couple up and they hibernate. You know what I mean?
I get that, but
you know, and then if you have kids and you're the single friend with no kids, it's like not easy to go to those where there's like,
it's harder when there's kids.
Like eight couples with children.
Sure. Sure.
Two more couples. And then it's like me and like the other single person.
Yeah.
I kind of like being the fifth wheel though.
But like,
cause then you're the fun one who's like untethered.
Oh
and
yeah.
Like, you know,
I always liked hanging out with
vicariously through you.
With my couple's friends.
I love it.
Yeah. I never had a problem with that. And I think there is that urge to cocoon and hibernate if you have a kid, but it's also like, but you got to mix it up. It's almost like, you know, muscle confusion at the gym. You know, like sometimes you got to just go be like, I'm going to go. We're going to meet these people. I don't want to go. But you go and you end up having a good time.
Yeah, maybe just, he just needs to create the opportunity, like be like, we're going to have a men's night out and invite all those married friends out for like a dude time.
Exactly.
Have a barbecue in the park.
Yeah, but do it like twice a month.
Yeah.
Right? Like don't do it just like once a quarter.
Yeah, and throw a dinner party. Dinner parties are like one of the best things to ever do as an adult. I love him so much. I remember there's a comic in Chicago when I was starting out that he had this amazing bit about how much he hated dinner parties, and he would go and he's like, oh, you're drinking Turning Leaf Chardonnay now? I'm going to drink 12 Pabst and crush the cans and hide them in your cushions, like stuff like that. And it was this long tirade. And it's very funny, but it's like, back then I'm like, yeah, that dinner parties aren't parties. Now I'm like, they're my favorite parties. You know, like I just like having people over and cooking for them and having a couple drinks and hanging out.
What's the childhood equivalent of the adult dinner party?
Childhood?
What's the childhood equivalent? It's
like, probably like a birthday party.
Or like come over and play with my dolls.
Right, that's what, like, I mean. Like, yeah. What's the equivalent? Because, mm-hmm. like, it is so joyous. And, like, the more ingredients involved, like, the better. Right? Yeah. Like, what, like,
come play, like, pretend.
When you were a kid and you were like, oh, it's a birthday party, that means there's cake. I'm going to go. Like, cake is the jam.
Yeah.
You know, I love cake so much. So it was like that was the thing. Whereas with like a dinner party, it's like, oh, you get different wine. If you don't drink, it's like, oh, we're going to eat a shitload of pasta or whatever. You know, like there's always, you know, there's treats. There's always something. Right. Like, I think that's the link in these parties. It's always like there's treats.
I like inviting people over to draw, because then there's like a passive activity we're all doing. Rad. So it's like you can just chat while staring at this thing you're working on, and there's low pressure and you're eating and drinking and just like.
Yeah, I think this guy should throw a party. And also another treat, because I was just thinking not all treats have to be consumption, karaoke.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, karaoke. You do that. Yep. You do that.
We'll run
that.
A karaoke party, and you can all you need is an amp and a mic, because if you have a television that you can hook up to your laptop, you can every karaoke song with the words across the bottom of the screen is on YouTube. All of them.
Yeah.
You can, and anyone just goes and just taps in whatever song they want. Boop, comes right up. And it's the best. We've had karaoke parties where it's like seven people. Gosh. And it's just a blast.
Gosh, I love karaoke.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I think, my advice to this guy is just like throw a little dinner party, invite your couple friends, see if they have any friends to bring.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then pursue hobbies.
Hobbies and clubs. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever you're into, you'll meet that community of people.
Yeah. Like, focus on your interests. Do you read a lot of books? Maybe join a book club.
Yeah.
Maybe go to a bookstore, like we have Skylight Books here, or Book Soup, that has events. Yeah. Go to those events. You know, and if someone says something really funny, laugh loud. So when people look over, you give them the thumbs up and be like, see, I'm fucking cool. I like that guy.
Also, just asking people questions about themselves is the best way to get them interested in you. Like, oh my God, it works like crazy
it's the best like advice from the movie Swingers.
Yeah.
Just ask questions. Just
people are
stare
so flattered
at her forehead
by
and
your
ask
curiosity.
Questions.
And then they'll want to know more about you. And then, you know, before you know it, you're friends.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a courtship.
Jerry Seinfeld's secret is to ask people questions that require them to give you numbers.
Interesting.
And that's like a thing Jerry Seinfeld does with people who he feels like, is he's like, you know, in the getting to know process.
Yeah, but then he's like, how much money do you have?
Oh,
it's like,
yeah,
God damn it, Jerry.
No, it's like, how
you're
many
a
kids
billionaire.
Do you have? How long have you been married? Like, you go for stuff with numbers.
But then it's such a short answer. Don't you want like kind of a longer answer that can...
Can I tell you what this is? This is like name droppy as a motherfucker.
Ooh, I can't wait.
I had coffee a couple months ago with Patton Oswalt. There's one.
Uh-huh.
And he...
That's pretty good. That's good.
He was having dinner at Steve Martin's house.
Wow.
Right. With like some other people. And you know, Steve is now kind of a new dad. His kid is probably like 5 or 6 or something.
I don't know that.
Yeah. He had a kid way late in life. And he said, I really don't want to fuck this joke up because it's so good and dark. But they're having dinner and there's other parents there too that have like little ones. Right. And Steve Martin goes, my number is 3. How often a day do you guys hit your kids? And Patton, if you're listening, I'm sorry I to take away your amazing story.
Oh, my God.
It's just so fucking dark.
I love it.
You hit your kid 3 times a day.
It.
And no one reach out as if he's serious. Don't be an asshole.
That's such a funny way to
say it.
It's not cool
not.
To joke about that. Yes, it is.
It's
That's
so
a funny,
funny
joke.
It's so funny to start with the number
it's, yes,
before you know
what
the number
what
means.
It is.
It's so funny.
My number. Like everyone hits their kids. It's just a number we
it's
all pick.
Such a good premise.
Yeah, where's your tolerance?
Have I used
What's
up all my slaps for the day? For my, I thought that was so funny and dark.
Okay, great. Well, really quick before we wrap up, I just want to let you know that, so I'm friends with this comic book artist, Jason Latour, who created Spider-Gwen. and Southern Bastards and et cetera, et cetera. And I introduced him to BoJack Horseman.
Oh,
and
he's great.
He's been Easter egging characters into all the, like, Spider-Man-y comic what? Books he's been writing right now.
Oh, my
now.
God. No way.
Yeah, yeah. I, like, really hope for, like, to eventually have you two meet. But he's, like, going to be out in L.A. to help work on the remaining, like, Spider-Verse movies and stuff.
Oh,
but
cool.
he hadn't, for some reason, heard of BoJack Horseman. And, like, not only, of course, loves the storyline, but loved the visuals so much that he's been Easter egging characters for, like, this... For, like, a series that's, like, about to come out. So that's awesome. Going to be... I'll be sure to, like, connect you to it and everything.
I can't wait to see it.
How fun is that?
That's so great.
Right? And I have to say, like, as a tribute, I was on BoJack.
Yes, you were. You played a deer.
whose name was Deer. And he's one of my favorite characters because I related to him so much. He is a deer who goes jogging at night in a tracksuit that's camouflage. So you can't see him. And he's just constantly getting hit by cars.
He can't stop.
And the line they cut for, and he's got his earbuds in, so he can't hear him. And the line that they cut out for a time that I was so sad about because it was so perfect. Because they go, "Why do you keep stopping when a car is coming?" And he goes, "I just see that light," and I go, "What is that?" And they're like, "But it's always a car, right?" He's like,
"Yeah, right.
It's always a car."
That's
and
right.
I've done that to myself through relationships, substance abuse, you know, eating the wrong thing.
Matt, that is a perfect character for you.
And I've
did they really cut that part?
They did for time.
They cut so many good
and
jokes.
I know. There's well, because it's so.
It's
I mean,
such a tight. I mean, yeah, it's like 23 minutes.
Raphael is like who I gave his first writing job to when I had a pilot.
Really?
Yeah, because his packet was so brilliant and I'd never heard of him. I'm just like, who is this person?
He's
you're
a
so
genius.
Funny. Yeah,
he's just a sparkly brain.
He's such
person.
A wonderful human being. So funny.
Love him.
But I have always, like, one of my favorite sentiments. It's a decent song, but it's a Jim Croce song. It's called "The Hard Way Every Time." And he says, I've had a, what was it? A couple moonbeams and went over a couple of falls in the course of running down certain highways. I ran into a couple of walls and it's like at the end of my life, blah, blah, blah. It's been and he just says, like, the thing I've tried to find, it's been the hard way every time. It's like that's the only way he learns is the hard way every time. Oh. And that's Deer. And so I'm like, just like, you know, you think about like ridiculous tattoos. Like if I had a tattoo on my arm of Deer taking his earbuds out, like, huh? Like he's about to get hit by a car. And it just says the hard way every time.
Oh my God.
I'll never get it. But it's just like, I just think that would be so rad. But it's like, I've said to you, I was like, make a Deer t-shirt. And if you make it the hard way every time.
Yeah.
And cursive around it.
Yeah. Can we make that
so
a t-shirt?
Badass.
Sure.
You also have a marvelous podcast. Mention that.
Yeah, Baby Geniuses,
yes,
which I co-host with Emily Heller.
Yes.
It's very funny and stupid.
It's great. And I was on it. And Emily Heller is one of the funniest stand-ups out
there.
She's
so funny.
Yes, she has a new album out, so you should check that out.
Yeah, it's called Pasta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You were amazing, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, yeah. And my show, Tuca and Birdie, is coming out soon.
Oh, yeah, Tuca and Birdie.
Tuca and Birdie.
With the two leads.
Yes, Ali Wong and Tiffany Haddish.
Like, come on, man.
Come on.
That show's going to be
It's going to be on Netflix.
It is?
Yeah, and I don't have a release date yet, but soon.
All right.
Yep. So if you want to call in for any advice from a severely unqualified person like myself, 323-763-0228, the Patreon, at Advice from a Dipshit. Amanda and I are going to rejigger that, by the way, so it's going to be a lot more user-friendly, all that jazz. We talked to a representative at Patreon who, like, gave us some great advice, so
look forward
to that.
We were like, we're trying this thing, and
yeah. Is this right? She's like, that's totally wrong.
Yeah.
She didn't say that. She's very nice.
I'm looking forward to the new changes, so
yes,
we'll be posting about it.
So stay tuned, guys, and we're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. Tell a friend about it, so check out the new Patreon, obviously. Announcement. We're going to be at South by Southwest on in March. I believe March 11th is when we're going to do it. It's a Monday, but still come. It's going to be rad. We're going to have a guest to be announced. So this is going to be the kickoff of our very, very first live advice from a dipshit.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
So it's going to be rad. Amanda will be there. Obviously, I will be there. So check it out. If you have a wristband, just come on by. The theme song's by Ben Wise. Subscribe and write a fun review. I know it's dumb and it's corny, but it does really help.
Yeah, it really makes a difference.
But so. We are growing exponentially. So, and that's all because of you and Amanda. Nothing to do with me. So
thanks,
check it out.
Man.
You
Gosh.
Bet. You bet. So keep calling, keep listening, and thanks, guys.
Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. Advice from a dipshit. It's advice from a dipshit with Matt Fronger.
You must fly so much because you're on tour, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Telluride, Colorado this weekend, and that took.
Oh my God, was it so cold?
Two planes and an hour and a half drive.
Wow.
Oh yeah, it was the last day I was there. I was like, this is brutal. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's just this amazing pioneer town.
How you had the air tank.
Yeah, the air tank backstage.
Yeah,
because it's
high altitude.
It's 8,800 feet.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So, like, there's an oxygen tank backstage if you want it.
Oh,
and
my
I put
God.
It on, and I was like, oh, that does feel different. Because you just feel like I'm fine. You go up a flight of stairs, and you're like, whoa.
I feel fucked up at high altitude. Like, even in, like, Joshua Tree, I'm like, ugh.
I didn't love it. I liked being there, but I was also like, you know, it's weird when you, like, have a beer and it feels like you had three of them.
Yeah,
like,
I can't drink at all.
Oh, yeah. The first time I went to Telluride, because my friend was dating a woman who lived there, and we were, like, at her beautiful house. Yeah. And then she's like, hey, guys, like, let's grab a beer and jump in the jacuzzi. Like, it's freshly snowing. We're like, sure. And we're, like, half a beer in a jacuzzi, and all of us are like, fuck,
it's
like
weird.
Yeah. Like, I can't do this. Like, yeah.
I'm gonna pass out.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was something else. That's for sure. Okay. We are ready. That was believable.